Accession number 17747, reel 37.
Yes, we were back in Italy, and it was a relief to find more normal things on the ground, like trees and pleasantly warm. We were able to sleep out in the open. We had no transport, so there was no ambition to go anywhere. I had a long walk with the Padre and a couple of fellow subalterns. We could see distant silhouettes of castles. It was marvellous to be able to pop into somewhere and buy peaches and tomatoes again. We also get through a bottle of scotch, lazy routine of reading and attending to such things as the men's exchange of currency. Next day I hitchhiked in a coal truck to Taranto, got covered in soot, met various people in the officers' club in Taranto, and saw the same Italian cabaret as we'd seen in March in the same place. Also saw a film of Pride and Prejudice.
Was the cabaret still as bad as it had been in the first?
I don't think we even stayed to see it through. I remember it very well as being the most amateurish thing, which had caused some ribaldry from Colonel Zambra. Mm.
Yes. Had there been any changes in Taranto? Had there been any additional damage to it or repair that you remember?
No, I don't remember. This was how long since? April, May, June, July? It's 4 months, isn't it? 16 weeks or so. No, I have said nothing really about Taranto, except that there were lots of warships in the harbour, which are more than we had noticed before. Now, why would that be? Ah, it would be for... Would it be for getting ready for the air invasion of southern France?
Possibly for going into southern France, Operation Anvil Dragoon, which was 12th of August.
That would probably be it. As likely as anything, that would be it. Support troops for that landing, which people like Tony Crossland were parachuted. I went into Taranto to... I held an ABCA session with the RHQ troop. I don't know whether I've mentioned ABCA, but it was a hugely formative influence, particularly in the later stage of the war. Army Bureau of Current Affairs, Raymond Williams' thing, which did more to change the government in 1945 than almost any other single thing. More of that later. I went into Taranto but failed to get any maps or chalk, presumably from some depot, for RHQ. The town is dead. You asked about Taranto. The town is dead, and save for the officers' club, is intolerable. We hear of an attempt on Hitler's life and of unrest in Germany, and pack our kit for an early start the next day. And I'm off at 7 a.m. with the commanding officer in his staff car. We missed the road, the proper road. No proper road signing, and the maps were not awfully good on the minor road front.
So you didn't have tack signs to follow?
Pardon?
You didn't have tack signs to follow, tactical signs?
Oh, well, if we did, we must have missed them. Mm. I think we were left, really, to find our own way to...
Yes.
I mean, this was now a sort of dead country. It was no longer active service country. And it was like being told to go to Devon from, I don't know, Wiltshire or something like that. We were going, of course, north in the direction of Rome. We went through, had an excellent lunch in Foggia, and then over the glorious Apennines to Naples, where there was a most colossal fleet of ships in the harbour. Something is brewing. We've touched already on what it was. It would be the August, I'd forgotten the date, which you reminded me of, the August parachute drop. Yes. In.
Well, it was a major landing, mainly by the Americans and by French troops attached. The Lettre de Tassigny's first French army.
Oh, really?
The Americans under Deva's 7th Army landed in the south of France and then pushed on up the Rhone Valley. So they would have been forming up probably in this that area. This
was 2 months after the Normandy invasion.
Yes.
Broadly speaking, yes. Well, this is obviously what was in, being prepared. Share a room with the Sierra Serena Hotel in Naples, which is very noisy. Pleasant dinner at the San Carlo. And then the next morning, Sunday the 23rd of July, we moved off on the road north in bright sun. We looked at the commanding officer, Colonel Zambra's old Garigliano gun area, from which he had come to us as a relief replacement for the previous colonel in February, just in time to go to the Anzio bridgehead. And also at the area which I knew, Damiano, the one which I think I showed you some aerial photographs of the mountains,
yes.
Bear Ass Ridge and all that kind of thing.
It did look very bleak and open.
That's right.
Virtually no cover.
That's right. And then we got nearer to the coast. These mountains and this fighting area are the most depressing sight ever, presumably because all the cottages were wrecked. And then we came to the coast near Formia with not a single house standing. And then to Anzio, already quite unrecognizable. For us, it has the atmosphere of a morgue and the old RHQ house that we had had at one time before going into those caves has gone. No one is in sight. I can't even find my friend Owen Gould's grave. To my dismay, the CO decides to turn right just before going into Rome, which I had hoped to see. And we went inland east instead of going through Rome. We turned east just before reaching it. And we arrive at a re-equipping area near Tivoli. And we settle into a billet into a marvellous house of a fascist oil magnate who isn't here, including his marble table. I remember well this solid marble table, about 12 feet long by about 6 in thick, solid marble, about 3 inches thick. We drank vino in Mussolini's model village, which I think was called Guidonia, and saw its church. And we were an advance guard, the CO and I and a few others.
So you were the forward party then?
We, in effect, were the forward party, yes.
And you were travelling in his staff car?
That's right. It was a great big Humber Snipe.
And presumably he had a driver, too?
He had a driver, yes. It was long-suffering. They were very devoted to each other. We got things in order for the arrival of RHQ, living in this magnificent marble hall. The place is too good to be true. On the other hand, battle action is now getting nearer. What a mess our air forces have made of this area, especially Guidonia Airfield. At long last, the regiment arrives, and it takes till 1:30 a.m. to settle them all in. Everybody is bad-tempered.
Presumably they'd drawn transport then, or had transport provided to them. The Taranto area, if they'd...
That's right, because we had... You're absolutely right, because I'd already noted that in that... transit camp area near 8 miles north of Taranto, we had no transport, so we must have drawn it from a depot in Taranto for the regiment to follow on. The only transport we'd had until then was the CO's staff car, which presumably was priority.
So that you would have had, what, quads towing the guns and three tonners to carry other people?
That's right, the whole mass of vehicles, yes. That's right. 24 quads and... Mind you, it's only RHQ which arrived the next day, not the whole regiment. The CO2 was in a shocking mood. I have to get a mess started at 2 hours' notice. The mess was always a priority.
And you were still in overall charge of the officers messing?
Yes, as I was assistant adjutant, which meant a dog's body. Get things sorted out eventually, find my kit and Batman arrive. Happily, go out with Bill Lowes, who was the survey officer in RHQ, to visit wine shops and buy wine and to see Tivoli itself. And we returned to an open-air cinema showing of Mutiny on the Bounty. 26th of July, a great day, go to Rome. Unsuccessful shopping expedition, but we ignore the shops and look round St. Peter's. The church and the Vatican are wonderful beyond measure, as is the Colosseum, and so on. Argue with the signals officer in a friendly way till 1 a.m. about arts and science. He was a scientist.
Do you remember how the argument concluded?
No. With drink, I should think. No. There was a lot of... You know, it was interesting in a way. These... If we had all been regulars, I can't imagine what the sorts of conversation would have been about. You would probably know better than I, having been close to them. But we were territorials, in essence. We were from a variety of backgrounds, students and professional people of all kinds. And I would guess that the little messes and the anterooms and the conversation and so on, when it was not entirely frivolous at the sort of Daily Mirror Jane level, it would be more like a miniature common room than anything else. It was not a bad set of influences to have. It made it worthwhile having been commissioned, and the things, you know, you asked me months ago, why did you want to be commissioned? And I said, because it was more comfortable, not just physically, but it was interesting.
Provided more stimulating.
Much more stimulating. That's right. That's right. Whether it would be, I mean, I was invited to go in for a regular commission at the end of the war, and I didn't even give it a second thought. And I think part of my instinct was that I would be mixing with people, had I stayed on in the, as a regular, mixing with people who were not like these people whom one valued. This is probably an arrogant thing to have said, but I think you know what I'm driving at.
Yeah, that you would not have met a selection of people with such a wide range of interests.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Then things were getting even more interesting, because we had an afternoon in Rome after a CEO's conference in the morning, and heard that the King, George VI, was now in Italy. Try and have a difficult job getting opera tickets for the regiment for the weekend. End up at officers' clubs, beautifully sited in the Pincio Gardens. But the dominance of the Stars and Stripes on the Allied HQ building annoys me. Letters from home. My younger brother was in the throes of his school certificate exams. Fascinating.
So life was going on as normal back home in England.
That's right, it was still going on at the grammar school. 29th of July, preparations for the King's visit, guarding the route, etc. Russians now 25 miles from Warsaw. I think we have about 3 weeks left before we go into action. Into Tivoli with the quartermaster and the RSM. And join a pretty low gang in a Vino place. Place crowded with soldiers and pretty girls, but badly bombed. Weather, the next day, weather always beautiful here, so fine, and we live it up in our temporary palace with its marble, so clean and beautiful. Look round the church of the model village. I'd forgotten about Mussolini's model village. Then we join a colossal lineup on both sides of the main road while King George VI goes by very slowly. It seems odd to see him here. It was a very long wait, and we have to keep some drunk and disorderly soldiery out of sight as far as possible. They were waving bottles at His Majesty.
They'd been drinking his health,
hadn't they? They'd been drinking his health for too many hours and been waiting a very long time. Indeed, you asked earlier on whether there was any kind of disaffection or political feeling among the troops when we were in Egypt. The first time I noticed anything at all was on this occasion, when there were one or two ribald and sarcastic shouts from the rear, so to speak, about the monarchy and so on. There's nothing serious, but I detected just the first rumblings of almost a kind of republican sentiment, mainly through the aggravation of having been kept waiting 3 hours for this few seconds of the king passing by. He passes our house on his way to the airfield, and we watch him take off. We go into Rome and have an exhilarating 60-mile-an-hour race back in jeeps along these awful roads.
You were saying you were in the model village that Mussolini built. Yeah. What about the inhabitants of the model village?
I have no recollection of it at all. I'd forgotten it existed. But, of course, the Roman, the civilians in and around Rome were fully back to normal within a week or two of the Germans going out. I mean, they were just in the business of trade and commerce. And I mean, there'd been no heavy fighting through Rome. I mean, it was an open city and so on. It did make a huge difference.
The enemy just abandoned it.
Yes, they walked out, and just as they later did from I'm sorry, I'm going mad. I can't remember the name of one of my favourite towns. We shall come to it. The place where Giotto's frescoes are.
Florence?
No, not Florence. Much smaller.
Siena?
St. Francis. Assisi. Yes, now, I noted, and it is just a small point, that we were in our own British 8th Army now, not, as before, in Italy, in the American 5th Army. And this is the day on which I see Pope Pius XII in the Vatican with our padre. I saw him for the first time then, so I had seen the heads of two churches in 2 days, George VI.
Head of the Church of England?
And the head of the Church of Rome. And this was the occasion on which the Pope was borne on his litter down the audience chamber, and a huge American GI held up a camera and said, "Hold it, Pope."
Did the Pope hold it?
I don't think he understood. Spend a long time with our Church of England Padre, exploring for 3 hours the glories of St. Peter's. Ending up, I've said, in a brass knob on top. That must mean we had climbed right up into the dome.
Yes.
I'd forgotten, having been up there. It's beautiful, but I like St. John Lateran, a much simpler church, equally well. Then we go to the Barber of Seville at the Quirinal Opera. My first real opera ever, very enjoyable. Life is too good and too rich these days. The next day, Tuesday, the 1st of August, after a bad start, I go with Major Haddingham and lead 2,000 men through Rome to the Vatican. These are the Catholics, with a band leading. We have a special audience with the Pope and an apostolic blessing. Officers are on the podium with the Pope as he comes round offering his ring to be kissed. He missed me out. He must have known that I was a doubter.
Were these 2,000 men a divisional contingent, or...?
It'd be more than division. I think it's probably corps, I would guess. Judging... Thought the law of averages, 2,000 men being Catholics, it was either corps or army. I remember it was a remarkable occasion. It was more than, you know, the typical audience with the Pope, which simply means being somewhere in a gathering. And we were just a small scatter of officers on this sort of raised large platform, like a stage, if you like, in a theatre, where he came round offering his ring and... before going down and walking through the crowd of soldiers who were not on the platform in the rest of the audience chamber.
Did he conduct a mass?
No, he gave an apostolic blessing, which presumably was a short prayer session and sort of thing the Pope does from the platform, from his window on Easter Day, that kind of thing. And then we had a sermon from Archbishop Griffin, straight from London. That I'd totally forgotten.
Have you any memory of what he said in his sermon?
No knowledge at all. These things go over my head, always have done. I've never yet managed to concentrate on a sermon. Glorious evening walk that day in the moonlit orchard with the Padre, ending a memorable day. Yes, that's right, heads of two churches in 2 days, and then the meeting the one of them more intimately the following day. Marvellous. Draw some money from the field cashier, return to the city with others the following day, and to La Boheme, entrancing Mimi, wonderful show. Return in a jeep at midnight and hear a symphony on the radio and the war news. Mine goes back 1 year. It's only 1 year precisely since I was on embarkation leave. The amount that can happen in 1 year in the war is just unbelievable. It's a lifetime.
Including four months really out of it in Egypt.
So that's right. That's right.
Had a very eventful 8 months or so.
Oh, it's just unbelievable, you know, and I was still 22 and 2 months. Pack up the next day for our next move. Glorious day in this best ever RHQ in this marble palace. Go to Tivoli. It's a place I must see again. Indeed, I did see it again with Janet about 20 years later. Up at 4:30 the next morning and off at 6 o'clock with the CO. Say au revoir in a mist to this lovely home we've had. Roads very crowded. Reach a reasonable RHQ at noon and settle down to a radiogram. Assisi is only 3 miles away. We seem to have a flair for finding famous places. But we're nearly struck by lightning. However, the rain clears and the regiment arrives rather bad-temperedly. Work hard on camouflage because we're getting near to the enemy. I think it was not... Yes, I suppose we did camouflage our positions, but we were certainly preparing camouflage nets for our next positions in action.
So you're now getting into the rear area, yes, of the combat zone.
That's right. We're exactly so. We're getting within relative striking distance of the Gothic line. Lovely countryside, and we find the Italians very helpful, but great security is now starting.
Did you know about the Gothic line when you were moving up to?
Yes, we had heard of it. Yes, that's right. That's right. I don't know how we knew, but just as we knew about the Gustav line along Garigliano, so we knew that the Gothic line was the next a major defensive position of the Germans.
Did you have any idea of its depth and complexity? Was there good intelligence on its...
I'm sure there was, but we hadn't yet encountered it. I mean, we were not near enough to have been briefed, put it that way.
All right. So you'd had a general outline.
We knew where we were going, but we didn't know anything about what positions we'd be taking up or anything of this kind. We were in the rear, quite a long way in the rear. Yes, we camouflage our positions, but the camouflage effort is ruined when one of our troops sets fire to a haystack and lights up the countryside for miles round. Evening, go into Assisi. But as I'm with the nice but unromantic atheist signals officer, don't learn much about St. Francis. He was, it's interesting that Siggs was an atheist. I'm not surprised. He's an extraordinarily sensible chap. but this was before I had myself become an agnostic. Take a few strolls round, and the next day, Sunday the 6th of August, hear bells ringing continuously from the local chiesa. Grapes not yet ripe on the vines, but we do eat it. Delicious fresh corn on the cob, roasted in butter, excellent mess, etc., etc. Listen to radio. It's Sunday, so we hear hymns on the radio from Albert Sandler. That name, slight resonance. Major Kennedy tells us about bodies he came across. He was one of our battery commanders who had been travelling up behind the CO and me. He tells us about bodies still preserved and unburied at Anzio, which he had had a good look at, because he was very heavily involved at Anzio. His battery 444 was heavily mutilated, and he himself got an American cross there.
How had the bodies been preserved?
I don't know. It would be the nature of these caves, I guess, with very fresh, dry air.
Yes.
We know there are a lot of caves.
Yes, you described the caves.
That's right.
In limestone, I think.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right, or sandstone,
so
I'm not sure.
So this would bring about a sort of natural mummification.
Yes, that's right. You know, in short, they're rather like the catacombs, you see. I mean, Rome was surrounded by these catacombs, and I don't know whether you've ever been into them, but I mean, we went into one a few years ago, and there are still bodies lying there from centuries ago. We expect to be here about a fortnight, then to do a follow-up job up to the front. War in France going very well. And then the next day I went off with John Hind of HQRA on a long trek to a gun calibration area. This is a rather essential piece of preparation.
Zeroing in.
That's right. Settled some odd points about the guns, but see nothing enthralling. It's Perugia we went to. It's a gorgeous place. I have to send in a written report on the loss of an administrative order, which had gone missing a week before. Off at 8:30 the next day, past Assisi to the foot of Monte Subasio, a hard climb up Monte Subasio with my tack forward party, but the view is our reward, the view of Assisi from above, absolutely marvellous. Pick brambles on the way down, just as one might in an English country walk. And so we're into August, and we're getting near, obviously, to this landing. You say it was on the 12th of August. Yes, 14th. That's right. I've got the note of it on the 14th. A reply from HQ Royal Artillery about my loss of this administrative order. It was an admin order about the visit to the Vatican. And they say the instruction is that the CO has to reprimand me. He and I have a good laugh about it. Buy some calf-length leather boots and a raincoat lining at an officer's shop. This would be where? In Assisi? Probably. A long lunch. Get a lift into Assisi, look round the three churches in the Basilica, you know, the three, one above the other in the Basilica of St. Francis, and go into the most beautiful vault of St. Francis right down below. And the next day we had a talk by our new Trappist monk, Father Nolan. That is a mystery to me, why we should have a Trappist monk in the mess. It would be a rather silent affair.
Well, they can have dispensations,
yes,
for proper purposes.
Well, of course, yes, I was thinking of Italian, but of course he was, yes, an Irishman, Father Nolan. And he must have been attached to us for some purpose.
Possibly. As well as
our... He certainly wasn't a replacement for our padre, who, Rickard, the Church of England.
Was he perhaps there to liaise with the local civilian population?
I think that could be right. Assisi...